Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Rob and Rob.
Welcome to Ask Rob and Rob. We love talking about property and answering questions about it. We've got a couple of really interesting questions coming up, which we'll get to in a minute, but I'm sure you've got an interesting question of your own. So here's how you send it our way.
Yep, all you have to do is go to propertyhub.net/ask and leave us a message. And obviously you can do that through your phone or your desktop or whatever device you use. But if you're old school and you want to call us and leave a voicemail, you can do that as well. Go to 013-808-0035. That is the number you need to dial. So dial away or go to that URL and leave us a question. And that's exactly what, well, we don't have a name this week. They've forgotten to leave it. So we get the privilege of making one up. So we'll say this is a question from Lando.
Hi, Rob and Rob. I'm considering buying my first flat in London. I live here and it's the only area that I know, so I probably wouldn't consider anywhere else at the moment. I enjoyed your last episode on the 18-year property cycle, and based on that, you might think that it was a good time to get on a property ladder. However, you've indicated in the past that London's overvalued. Living here, it certainly feels that way. So if we're only about 4 years from the crash, maybe it takes me a year to find the property that I like. If London was ahead of the curve, then maybe it's actually a bad time to start in London right now. So, yeah, do you think London is the exception, or is everything you said about the 18-year property cycle, you know, most likely still true for London? All right. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Lando, thank you for your question. Very interesting one. London is always an interesting market to keep an eye on. And it sounds here like you're looking at making an investment to actually live in yourself, which does put a different slant on things. But I'll start by talking about the general investment case. Overvalued is always a tricky word to use because you're not necessarily going to get people to agree on what overvalued means, by what kind of yardstick are you using to measure that. But it certainly has been the case that London performed extremely strongly in the first part of this cycle and ended up in a point where values were extremely stretched compared to rents. Rents hit a point where they couldn't really go up any higher without people's incomes increasing, and prices just kept on going to a point where London as an investment just didn't make any sense. That may be changing. For a start, London prices are looking a bit less stretched now. I mean, it's all relative. I know London's a very expensive place to live, but it's less stretched because it has had a few years of going pretty much nowhere, while the rest of the country has increased in value, inflation has increased, people's wages have increased, so it's now looking better value than it was. The other interesting point when we're looking at the latter stages of the cycle is, well, what are you planning to do? If you're planning to sell everything before the crash happens, then if it does take you another year to find somewhere, then trying to get in and out before that takes place is, I describe it as brave, not impossible, but ambitious for when you're making your first investment. If you're looking for assets to hold through the crash and keep on holding for the long term out the other side, then London's probably a pretty good place to be, because when we look back to the last crash in 2007-2008, London bounced back way faster than anywhere else and went on to perform very strongly, as I've already said. The length of time that London prices fell back for, I think, was only about 18 months before they recovered to where they were. So that's the investment point. But like I said, you're looking for somewhere to actually live. And in that case, I'd probably say, well, throw out most of what I've just said and do what you want to do. Because when it comes to your own home, investment is not the only factor. I think the key point here is, like, would you be insane to buy in London at the moment because prices are so high and they're going to absolutely plummet and never recover and you'll be regretting it? I don't think so. I can't see the future, but it seems pretty unlikely. So that leaves other options on the table. If you are in a position where you want to buy your own home now, then that doesn't seem like a crazy thing to do. But equally, if that's not something that you're ready for yet for other reasons, then I don't think you'll be kicking yourself for that either necessarily. So Lando, I can't tell you what to do, but there's quite a lot there for you to be thinking about as you make that decision.
Awesome. Well, good luck, Lando. Next up, we have Chris.
Hi, Rob and Rob. Great show. I always listen every week. Been listening for around 12 months now, so it's always good to hear people's scenarios and get plenty of tips and stuff around the property world. I currently own two properties. We're looking to move to a bigger house for our family. I've got both these properties and some decisions to make on them. The four-bed semi-detached house, we've just had valued at about 200,000. There's a significant amount of equity in the semi-detached house that I bought. So my question really is, do I sell the semi-detached house and use the money from the sale to buy a new house for me and my fiance and our daughter to live in? Or do I keep the house and rent it out and just release money from it to purchase the next property? I'm just throwing around different ideas and different ways of doing what I need to do. I've got a huge interest in property and I would like to build up a decent portfolio, but I just can't come to a full decision on what I do with the semi-detached property. So any help that you guys or any opinions would be helpful.
Chris, thank you for your question. Now, even with all the context you've given it, it's still difficult to answer because there's so much around this. There's an answer I'm going to give, but I'm going to caveat my answer with, I don't know all the ins and outs of your personal situation, your personal finances, your goals, and obviously what you're like as a person and your tolerance to risk. But what I can do is tell you what I would do. And then you can decide whether that's useful or not. But at least for everyone else, they get an insight to what someone who's a bit more experienced would do in this situation. So what I would do if I was early on in my property portfolio is release equity and get my home that way. And the reason why, at an early stage in property investment, I don't want to be selling any of my properties. I want to build that portfolio rather than reduce that portfolio. Because while it's easy to reduce, it's hard to build. As you know, you have to get that deposit together. It takes a long time. And the more assets you own over the long term, then going up in value, that will help you because you'll get an increase in equity, which you could use again if you wanted to then to build on the portfolio further. And of course, that'll be supplemented by the rental income that you'll be now making, which you wouldn't have done if you'd sold a property. So is it a simple no-brainer? Sort of, but I will say there's the emotional element that you're going to have more debt. Now, if you use that debt wisely and invest in assets, then it's not such a bad thing. There's a debate of whether your own home is an asset or not. And read Rich Dad, Poor Dad if you want more context around that. Or listen to our podcast on investment books you must read because we talked about Rich Dad, Poor Dad then. But getting back to your question and what you should do, always build if you can. But emotionally, you may stop yourself doing that. But it comes down to numbers. That's all it comes down to. And numbers aren't emotional. It's just the people who look at the numbers who are. Look at the numbers and go, okay, well, if I have more assets under my control and the market moves up 20% in X amount of years, doesn't matter how many years, but at some point it'll be worth 20% more, then aren't you glad you held it? Because suddenly you've got a lot more equity and a lot more wealth than you would have otherwise. Plus, you've had the benefits of that rental income as well. So it's not an easy decision to make because you're a human and all humans have emotions. But if you can get those emotions in check and make a numbers decision, the numbers decision, in most circumstances, will tell you to hold, use equity, and continue to build on that portfolio.
Well, there you go. Two more questions answered. The knowledge of the world slightly expanded. And we'll be back to do it all again next Tuesday. But before then, we'll see you for the Property Podcast on Thursday. And it's going to be a good one. So we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.